What it do, baby?
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to episode number 740 of Locked On Raptors for Monday, July the 13th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean, and you can find the show at Locked On Raptors. You can find links to every single episode of the podcast. And of course, please make sure you're checking out the entirety of the Locked On Podcast Network as we get close to sports. We're like 11 days, apparently, from baseball starting. That seems dubious, and they don't really seem to have a plan, but it's happening nonetheless because capitalism, baby. And as a result, we have lots of great stuff coming out across the network to help get you ready for the return of baseball. Next week, we're going to be doing a big MLB re-preview on the Locked On MLB show, so please make sure you're subscribing there and tuning in, and also just listen to that show generally because Sully, the host of that show, kicks ass. Anyway, the entire network and today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Reliably low prices, all the car parts you're ever going to need, as well as amazing selection. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. They're just wonderful for finding car parts. All right, on today's show, we are going to continue on, I think over the course of two parts of an episode, with the Retiring Every Raptor series with myself and Katie Heindel, who is here to go through the Raptors uniform number history and retire everybody. We got through numbers 1 through 25. We're going to, I think, try to hammer out numbers 26 through 92 because there are many skips in the numbers that have been worn in Raptors history in those in that range of numbers. So we'll try to do as many as we can today. We're also going to hit on the Raptors arriving in the bubble and all that stuff. But first, we should introduce Katie. Katie, what is going on?
Hello. As you know, I was just swimming.
Yes. How was the swim? Are you a good swimmer? Are you a fast swimmer? Are you a backstroker, a butterfly stroker? What's your ideal swimming situation?
I'm a good swimmer. I have to say, I mean, I used to be better. I'm enjoying swimming every day in the lake where I am, but my strokes kind of, I like to switch them up. You know, right. I'll start with like a breaststroke. I'll flip over, do a couple like back strokes. I'll do a front crawl a little bit. I just like to switch it up.
Are you a swimming cat person?
What? Oh, I thought you said cat. Like, I don't think cats really care to swim. No. I was actually thinking just before we started that in the time I've been up here in the last week, my hair is always mostly at this stage of like half dry, half wet, which is nice.
Yeah, that's a good place to be. That means you're living cottage life correctly. So swimming for me has always been a challenge. I was very resistant to learning most regular skills that most children learn as kids. Hated swimming lessons. I think I failed level 5. And like this was in like school swimming lessons that were part of gym class, and I was not very good at that. I got kicked from the deep end to the shallow end at one point, and I don't think I ever graduated back. And then it took me a long time to figure out how to ride a bike too. So I'm just a great athlete over here, learning all the things that you're supposed to learn as a young person to survive in the world.
You're just going at your own pace. That's
yeah, all. Yeah. I'll learn how to swim. You know, I figured out biking. Biking's no problem. It still terrifies me. And I don't really do it on the street because I'm scared of drivers. But yeah, swimming I'll figure out probably by my 40s, I would guess. We'll see. I'll keep you posted on the podcast. all right, Katie. So yeah, as we mentioned off the top, we are going to finish off the Retiring Every Raptor series today. We have like 16 or 17 numbers to get through, which I think we should be able to do over the course of a two-part episode. But we have to address the breaking news that has been slowly leaking in over the last 4 days or so. Since the Raptors arrived in the bubble, I believe we have not done a podcast since they arrived in the bubble, driving their excellent Black Lives Matter buses that were the talk of the bubble amongst the likes of Matisse Thybulle and Tobias Harris. And they, you know, they arrived in style, and it's lovely to see. And we haven't seen much of them in terms of like extracurricular fun times activities the way we have with a lot of the players. The NBA Bubble Life Twitter account is fantastic. Everyone should follow it, getting all the updates from everybody who's, you know, fishing and shotgunning beers and basically nothing else. But
if you're running that account, reveal yourself.
Because, yeah, please. We need to have you.
I need to know who it is.
Yeah.
Part of me is selfishly also like, are you on my beat?
It does feel very Katie adjacent, I will say.
But also, like, thanks for helping me out on my beat, because I can't be locked in 24/7.
Yeah.
Like, so, whomever that person is.
Like, we have our basketball podcast where at the end of every episode, we do our social media posters of the week. And I'm usually quite bad at finding out people because I'm still slow to follow people on Instagram. But this account is going to make it so, so easy for me to come up with a robust list of candidates every week. Go listen to basketball, by the way. We had a great episode on Thursday with Lindsay Gibbs, WNBA reporter who came on, and it was lovely. All right, Katie. So the Raptors arrived Thursday or Friday, and they've been practicing a couple of practices over the weekend. We're seeing some press conferences. Kyle Lowry had a press conference today where he, you know, did the thing where he makes fun of the media. That's always good. Asked if Josh Lewenberg got taller during the break, made fun of Doug Smith's internet, made fun of Michael Grange. I think he asked him to leave the call at one point. Classic Kyle Lowry media shit. Beautiful to see. Long overdue, and nice to see it back in our lives. He did also say this is probably the last time they'll talk to him for a month, which, again, extremely Kyle Lowry shit. We saw Terrence Davis address the media yesterday, was talking about skinny Marc Gasol and how he's looking like his prime version of himself. Any big takeaways from the Raptors' arrival in the bubble or the first few days of practice reports that we're getting?
They seem extremely comfortable, which is nice. Like, they seem, I mean, the whole, what has been really nice about all players sort of arriving to the bubble is how summer camp be it kind of feels. And there is this like latent kind of buzz of excitement going through it. Not to say that the Raptors are removed from that, but I do feel like because they got to Florida a couple weeks early and then them arriving in the bubble, I don't think they're being cold and standoffish, but I also don't mind this feeling that I think can happen when you're just kind of, your mentality's at a little bit of a different level. Like there, it does feel like, and I don't think it's premature to say that they're kind of locked into something and that they're focused on something else, which really reminds me, honestly, of last year of the postseason. Like there were these moments and plateaus of like rest and potential joy that they could have like, you know, relax a little bit, but they chose not to because they were really focused on one thing. And it feels a little bit like that.
Yeah, it really does. They seem extremely like professional about everything. They seem like not caught up in the sort of the fun, like you said, summer campy elements. They probably got that out of their systems pretty early on. Now that they're just deep in the grind of living in Florida during a pandemic, which can't be pleasant or, you know, make you wake up with a lot of joy, but they seem to be making the best of it. They seem to be, again, feeling comfortable and safe, which is the most important thing. You know, Kyle was talking today about how safe he feels, how he thinks the NBA has done a very good job inside the bubble, which hopefully it holds. I'm still like worried of people testing positive outside the bubble, like Russell Westbrook, for example. All the best to him. Hopefully he's doing okay. And, you know, it's still, the caveat applies whenever we talk about the basketball that's about to happen and, you know, delve into some enjoyment of it. The caveat that this show should have like in the description is this is a bad idea and it's stupid. And Florida has shortages of hospital beds and people are getting tested and waiting 16 days for results in some cases while NBA players are getting them in 12 hours. That's bad and wrong and morally bankrupt, but really, I guess I got to talk about the bubble as it's happening anyway. But yeah, it's been
like,
nice.
On that note too, I think it's a good point to say just like, cause we've talked about this before, like the optics of restarting in a place where, as you said, like, you know, there are shortages of shortages of tests, now shortages of ICU and hospital beds and resources, like necessary resources. It doesn't, as much as like, you know, on one hand, I really can't like blame guys for getting excited and like being playful and like, you know, feeling real joy about like seeing each other and maybe like a little bit of a breather from the anxiety I'm sure they've been feeling in their day-to-day life. But there is a certain level of like, I guess, like the maturity and the kind of seriousness that the Raptors are sort of holding themselves to that I don't doubt a lot of other players will kind of shift into as well. That when you look at the optics side by side of like the merits of this bubble operating in a place like Florida and in the United States, which is quite dire, it's not the worst thing to see athletes behaving, like taking it seriously, right? And behaving in like a serious way, which again, I feel like speaks to the professionalism of the Raptors.
Totally. And also a shout out to the Raptors organization as a whole, who seem to be really sort of representing themselves quite nicely. They on Thursday, we started seeing pictures. I think O'Shea Brissett was the first we saw. Then it came around that it was every player on the team arrived to their room, and the team had placed photos of their family and their children and all that stuff in the room for them to have upon arrival. So those little touches, man, like they've been the talk of the bubble, it seems so far. And that, you know, it's really ghoulish to think of like long-term implications when it comes to like free agency and stuff like that. But all that stuff really matters. And the fact that they took the care and the time to have those little details, you know, Terrence Davis spoke about how much he appreciated it on his little press conference. I think Norm Powell talked about it as well. It's nice that the Raptors, you know, in a really bad situation are still, you know, doing the thing where they treat their people right. And that was really heartening to see as well. Anything else on the bubble at all, Katie, before we move on to retiring every Raptor?
Not really. I mean, everyone looks great. It is nice to see like how well they've kind of kept in shape to the best of their ability and kind of beyond, you know, like because sometimes access to equipment and like full courts obviously is not something that every player has. But it does seem in their own way, they've also like, they've just kind of stayed. It doesn't seem so much that they're like picking up from where they stopped. It seems a little bit more like a smoother continuation for them.
Yeah.
And we're maybe just like not as privy to like the insider looks at like practices of other teams, but I like, you know, this is a Raptors podcast and I do think there is just like, there's still a little bit of differentiation there, which like it makes me feel good.
Definitely. It's also, I don't think anyone in the league is gaining quite the plaudits that skinny Marc Gasol is.
Or jacked. Chris Boucher.
Yeah, it's honestly disheartening to see Chris Boucher. It's why? Messed up. It's like, it's cool.
Maybe that's why he was sneaking out. He was like bulking. He's like, I need more proteins.
Yeah, I'm happy for Chris Boucher that he's bulking up. And yeah, I guess the trips to the supplement store were worth it. But it was very, very weird to see him looking. Not so much. Yeah, it's not like displeasing or off-putting or anything like that. It's just, it's very weird because he's the skinny guy. It's and like everything else is skinny. He just has enormous biceps now, which is kind of fun. It's like he only has done arm day, and that is fun to me as a person who skipped leg day every time the one summer I went to the gym once in a while. We'll obviously dive into what like a refined and revamped version of Marc Gasol might mean for the Raptors on the floor as we continue out in the lead up to the season starting or restarting, but we don't want to burn all that good content right away, so we'll get to that a little bit later on. And we're going to dive into retiring every Raptor, which you aren't familiar. Katie and I are not really fans of the idea of retiring jerseys. And so we decided to lean into that and then go through the entire Raptors uniform number history, that is, and figure out which player would be most deserving of having the number retired on their behalf. We are 25 numbers in. We're going to start with number 26 in just a second. But first, I want to tell people about rockauto.com, which for a big, dumb car idiot like me is a perfect website that makes it super easy for me to find auto parts when I need them. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpets, whether it's for your classic or your daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate as well. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, whatever year it is, right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box or the note we sent you as well. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you're ever going to need at rockauto.com. All right, Katie. Number 26, the first on our list here is a accursed number because only one player has worn this number in Toronto Raptors history, and apparently Hedo Turkoglu, if we're going by the letter of the law here, gets his number retired now.
Yeah, he does. He just, like, I mean, we have to, right? We can't say, you could put the number up with, like, instead of a name, a couple question marks, assuming there's, like, a future. Mm-hmm. Like to come, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Subject, like, to change. Yeah.
TBD. Like, Yeah. Number 26 TBD instead of a last name, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't, then I think we really have to feel strongly about this, and we don't.
Yeah, it's hard to engender any feelings or emotions about Hedo Turkoglu, as he did not engender any feelings or emotions as a basketball player for the Toronto Raptors when he was here. So why would we return the favor? But congrats to him. I guess his banner can be brought to you by Pizza Pizza or something like that. or we could just make the banner number 26 and then in quotations, ball, and then everyone would get it, and it would also harken back to a standout moment in Raptors media history. Would that be mm-hmm. fair?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. We can move on to a better number now. Number 30. We skipped 27, 28, and 29. Never worn in the history of the Raptors. And number 30, which has been worn by three players, is up next. The three contestants here. It's a pretty good category, actually. Oliver Miller, of course. Excuse me. The first doughy man in Raptors history, and perhaps the doughiest man in Raptors history, has my respect forever as a result. You've got Del Curry, of course, the father of Steph Curry. You got all the videos of Steph taking threes and whatnot during his teenage years in Toronto, if that tickles your fancy at all, as part of his case. And then you have Reggie Evans, who got a lot of rebounds for a couple years and not much else, but at the time, him getting a bunch of rebounds was kind of the best thing about the team. So there's that to consider as well. Katie, do you have a strong case to make for either Oliver Miller, Del Curry, or Reggie Evans?
Well, I picked Oliver Miller already for another number he wore.
Oh, that's right.
So, unfortunately, I can't pick him again mm-hmm. on these made up rules that we have.
made up in like kind of constantly moving and changing rules, I should say.
Yes, completely. But I do feel a little more strongly about Del Curry, if only because it kind of like, I like the idea that Steph Curry is always like kind of psychically tied to Toronto, because I don't think he likes that. Like, I think he's like, whatever, like, I don't care. Like, it's no big deal. But I think there's a part of him that's like, oh, like, give it a rest. Like, I was just a kid and I had mm-hmm. no choice. He played there. But I sort of like that haunting of Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it to his dad.
So I like the Del Curry argument. He certainly was quite good as like a late stage career veteran guy on the Raptors. He was also a big part of one of the most pivotal plays in Raptors history. He's the inbounder on the Vince Carter miss against the Sixers. Maybe should have passed it back to Del Curry. They say it on the broadcast. Keep an eye on Del Curry to get the ball back, because he's an amazing three-point shooter. Obviously does not happen. Vince misses the shot. Dell has nothing to do with it, but that's certainly a part of Raptors history that he is forever tied to. I think personally, I kind of have to go to Reggie Evans here, just because he, like, that first year after Chris Bosh left, the 2010-11 season, one of the most depressing seasons I can possibly remember. I went to a game in that season and it basically killed my will to cheer for basketball for like 2.5 years. I like didn't watch. I came home from Ottawa, like my first month at school, to come and watch that game. And it was against the Cavs, which they were just having just lost LeBron. And it was like Reggie Evans and Jarrett Jack up against like Samardo Samuels and Manny Harris. And it was real dark. So I kind of respected Reggie Evans for being one of the lights during that season. But I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to go Evans here. I'm going to leave it up to the coaster, which of
is
course.
Is it the same coaster?
It's a different coaster, because right now I'm at my fiance's parents' house. So they have sort of heftier coasters. They're made of cork. On one side, it says it's flat and it says Chef Mate. And on the other side, it is a little bit, it's got a bit of a ridge on the outside. So we'll call the Chef Mate side heads, the ridge side tails, and I'll let you call it to the air.
Because the other coasters were cursed, so.
Yeah, they were. And I felt bad about it, I'm not going to lie. I wasn't relishing that by any means. But yeah, here, I'll call it in the air.
Tails.
It's tails. There you go. Del nice. Curry, congratulations. The coasters are no longer cursed, apparently. Or maybe they'll be cursed against me. Who knows? anyway, so congratulations to Del Curry. We move on to number 31. Five players have worn this number in Raptors history. We have Sean Respert, Roger Mason, Charlie Villanueva, Sean Marion, and of course the winner, Terrence Ross. I'll let you try to make a case for someone other than Ross if you want, but you're not going to be able to convince me.
Yeah, no, this is kind of like a shot in hell, but And this is mostly just an acknowledgement, because I do think Charlie Villanueva's work towards like alopecia awareness is very heartening to me. But I'm not gonna try and fight you on this one, man.
Yeah, you're wise to avoid that fight. You know, Charlie V is definitely second on this list. You know, it's not really close. He had the 48-point game as a rookie. He came second in Rookie of the Year in that first season, then got traded for TJ Ford, which is an honor in its own right. But Terrence Ross won a dunk contest. He should have won a second, but got robbed of an actual chance to defend it. Traded for Serge Ibaka, who came into our lives and made great content and also won a title. And he's an indelible part of Raptors history. Terrence Ross, baby, all the way. I'm not in my regular office right now, but if I was, I would be tapping my Terrence Ross photo.
Blowing it a kiss, even.
Yeah, perhaps. Both, yeah, but why not? We move on to number 32. Not a very loaded number. Going to say it up front. We have Herb Williams, who wore it in 1996. Martin Lewis, who wore it in 1997. Perhaps the Raptors player who, if you ask me to pick them out of a lineup, is the person I could least name from a lineup, Martin Lewis. I have no idea what this person looks like. Garth Joseph, who played for, I believe, one season in like three games. Mamadou Ndiaye from 2001 to 2003. He kind of had like a Marcus Banks-ass career where he was on the team for 3 years and played like 30 games. Chris Jeffries and Ed Davis, the boss, from 2011 to 2013. Like number 31, it feels as though this is kind of a wash for Ed Davis. But do you have an argument for Williams, Lewis, Joseph, Ndiaye, or Jeffries?
Yeah, Garth Joseph, because one, I don't think you're going to find another basketball player, professional basketball player named Garth. And two, did you know his nickname was the Angel of Death?
I did not know this at all.
Which feels like contextless. Even with the context that he got the nickname, very frightening. So, yeah, he's my pick. But he also looks quite kind.
He's a very large man, 7 foot two. I believe the only ever NBA player from Dominica as well.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't hate Garth Joseph as a pick. I don't think I believe in it enough to like lean into Garth Joseph as the only pick here. But yeah, the Angel of Death, that's damn good. But I think Ed Davis deserves at least a shot at the flip of the coaster. Is that fair?
Yes. Okay.
So Garth Joseph, Ed Davis, you call it in the air, heads or tails?
Tails.
Oh, it rolled and stumbled along the floor to my right, and it ended up on heads.
Damn.
Ed Davis wins. As I got to reach for this thing now and probably injure myself.
A daily stretch. Remember to stretch every day, guys.
Yeah, I get him in like once every 2 or 3 days. But
even if you're just picking stuff up.
That actually hurt me. I'm a pathetic, pathetic shell of a man. Ed Davis gets the pick here, and he gets his number retired. We are going to move on now to number 33, worn by 7 players in Raptors history, including a current member of the team. This is a pretty loaded category, actually. You've got Carlos Rogers, one of the OGs. I believe he played at the first ever game for the team. Brad Lowhouse, he ain't winning. Gary Trent, who was traded for Alvin Williams in the Damon Stoudemire deal. Or sorry, came with Alvin Williams in the Damon Stoudemire deal from Portland. Antonio Davis, can't argue with Antonio. Michael Bradley, Jamario Moon, and Marc Gasol. So I think it's probably down here to Davis, Moon, and Gasol, but that is quite the trio to have to debate between, Katie.
Yeah, I'm always like, I mean, I'm always a little bit impressed when I see people still with Jamario Moon jerseys. But also, I'm also like, I would wear that because it's cool to wear Moon. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. You love astrology. If you just straight up love the moon, which I do too, not in like a werewolf way, just like, respect the moon kind of way.
Just respect its powers and its hold on the tides.
Beautiful. Yeah. But you know, that said, I'm gonna go Marc Gasol.
He also just had so many names, nicknames, that is. And I recall there was legitimately a nickname contest, notably, when he was with the Raptors that they ran on TSN.ca. He has a few different nicknames. Of course, a former Harlem Globetrotter, too, where I believe he was nicknamed the Screwdriver. Also Apollo 33, Super Jamario, and I believe Noodles is also one of his nicknames because his middle name is Ramen. And so
that's the same. right?
Probably not, but I'm not here to write down who gave some nicknames. I just read it somewhere at one time. So, and also, it's obviously Super Jamario or Apollo 33 that are the acceptable nicknames for Jamario Moon, the best ones. We're spending a lot of time talking about Jamario Moon here. Antonio Davis and Marc Gasol are also in this category.
Yeah, we're burying the lead a little.
Mm-hmm. So let's leave the Gasol case for later, because I feel like even though he's had the shortest tenure of these three guys with the team, he's probably going to have our vote for a number of reasons. But Antonio Davis was an all-star with the team. He was the second best player on those Vince teams. He was around a long time. He even came back for like a cursed half season at the end of his career after a trade with the Bulls. There's a really good case here for Antonio Davis, I think.
I mean, there is, but I'm still picking Marc Gasol.
I want to pull up the Raptors like all-time win shares thing, because that is... I think Antonio Davis is like troublingly high on there. Oh, he's ninth all time, right behind Morris Peterson, right ahead of Doug Christie. So he's not as high as I thought. Had he been like top five in win shares of all time, I might have been compelled to go with the nerd bully answer. But yeah, it's Marc Gasol. He won the title. He had the games in game 3 and 4 against the Bucks that were just the stuff of legends. Survived the last like 12 minutes of the game 3 against the Bucks on 5 fouls and didn't foul out. And is a light in our life, and wore that big vest and sandals to Avec class with Serge Ibaka. And so I think as a result of that, kind of have to do it.
Should retire that whole outfit that he wore.
It's like it's the jersey is underneath the vest, basically. Yeah, yeah, I like that.
The vest, like the weird hat. What was yeah. It? Like there was a weird shirt, like, kind of baggy sweats. Was he wearing like slide sandals, I think, too?
Yeah, he was, for sure. Yeah, he was very, and again, this was like cold weather. It was like March that he was doing this.
Yeah.
Just did not care. Love me some Marc Gasol. Let's move on to number 34, as we have the second appearance of Carlos Rogers on this list. He wore it from 97 to 98. Charles Oakley from 99 to 2001. Hakeem Olajuwon in 2002. Robert Archibald, who I believe recently passed away, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sorry if I just accidentally deceased Robert Archibald, but I'm pretty sure he did. 2004. Aaron Williams, 05, 06. Aaron Gray, 2012 to 2014. Greg Steemsma, 2015, and Alfonso McKinney, 2018. A lot of weird, like, one-off kind of guys here. A couple fan-ish favorites. Katie, who is your favorite from this group?
Robert Archibald did pass away in January. Yeah. So RIP, yes. Buddy. My pick is close as Steepsma makes it. I'm picking Oak, man.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yes.
It's hard to argue with Oak. He's a lovely man. I feel like maybe like a little meaner than he was like a nice, lovable fan favorite, but that's okay. It's okay to have some mean in your life. He one time yelled at me on the phone.
Nice. Sometimes you need an enforcer, but what did he yell at you about?
Oh, he didn't yell at me on the phone. He yelled at me via text. So I was producing a radio show. And one of my producers, the other producers at the station, had given me Oakley's number to reach out to because he'd been on our station before. And so I was, it's kind of common practice among radio hosts. You share numbers. You say, oh, I got this number from producer X, and then it's all cool. I shot Oak a number, Oak a text, and said, hey, Charles, I got the number from a producer, whatever, at the station. Wondering if you want to come on a show. He's like, how did you get this number? Who are you? What is going on? And he never came on the show.
I respect it.
Yeah, hey, you know what?
I would
be bristling at a 22-year-old moron cold texting me as well. So I can't really blame him. Charles Oakley rules. He did a cooking show, I believe, for a little while, which, you know, always appreciated in these parts. So Steemsma was the other one I was thinking here. Aaron Gray as well, sort of a weirdly likable guy, part of the Rudy Gay trade, kind of always tied into Raptors history that way, but... yeah, it's got to be Oak, I think, here. Not much contest there. And we'll move on to our final number of the day before we pick it up in part 2 of the podcast tomorrow with the number 35, worn by 5 players in Raptors history. And this one is a slim pickings category. The first person to wear the number is Tracy Murray from 96 to 02. One of the OGs of the franchise, I believe, led the team in win shares in the first season. Was their best player early on, in addition to Damon Stoudemire. Earl Cureton, who I know I ranked in Ranking Every Raptor. I can't remember where or for what he got ranked for. He's not going to win here, I don't think. Reggie Slater, who has a very good name. It's a very good basketball name, but not a necessarily great career. Corliss Williamson and Lonnie Baxter. Who is your pick here, Katie?
Honestly, I was like, no. Dude, I don't know. Who's yours?
I feel like because of like the time at which he came to the team, Corliss Williamson stands out. He was in I think he got acquired for Doug Christie, if I'm not mistaken. Right. And that was like kind of an exciting pickup because I believe, he ended up winning sixth man after when he was playing for the Pistons. But it seemed like he was like a pretty good player, kind of an exciting pickup when they got him. Didn't really do a whole lot, but I kind of always lumped him in with Jerome Williams as like the fan favorite bigs off the bench. Lonnie Baxter, I don't think I'm going to go there. He was part of the Donyell Marshall trade, and so he always has that tied to it. But, yeah, I mean, Tracy Murray is probably the objectively right pick here. He was there for a long time. I just don't remember any of his exploits because I was not really sentient yet.
Let me just do what my ultimate test is, which is look at smiles. 1 sec. Oh, kind of serious looking player.
Who, Tracy Murray?
Yeah, looking like serious, a serious guy.
Corliss Williamson has a pretty good smile.
He does. You know, I kind of feel bad for Corliss Williamson because he got canned when he was an assistant coach for the Suns, but like the entire coaching staff also got canned when the head coach got canned. So,
right.
But then that was like, that's how he's gone out thus far.
Right. So yeah, let's go Corliss. Let's throw him a bone. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel a bit bad for him there.
We'll give him a little bit of love and give it to Corliss Williamson. And that's going to bring today's portion of the podcast to an end. Tomorrow we will go through numbers 40 through 92. I haven't opened up the tabs on a lot of these numbers yet. I'm pretty fascinated as to who lies in these tabs. It's going to be exciting.
Who lies in the depths.
Yeah. This really is the depths. We have numbers such as 40, 42, 43, 52, 77, and 92, and more coming into you tomorrow on the podcast. So stick around for that. Katie, do you have anything you would like to plug?
Yeah, I'm going to go all in. I'm going to plug Basketball Feelings. Mm-hmm. Which, halfway through the Basketball Feelings inaugural feelings draft. And I realized that today, which is kind of crazy. I'm also trying to speed things up before the season gets back underway. But it's been very fun. And looking at who has contributed so far, I myself was even surprised at like the roster of like talent.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
That have like come out of this thing that I invented. So I feel pretty proud of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, please read it if you haven't yet.
The writers you have included are fantastic, and
there's like still more to come, everybody. Big names to come.
Fantastic, looking forward to it. Corbin Smith, John Wilms, probably, maybe. I don't know. I'm just throwing out names who are in that vein of writer.
bigger.
You got David Roth at one point, right?
Yeah, I got Dave.
Okay, yeah, get him again. Yeah, Roth Dave. Rules. Yeah.
No, Dave's already had his time in the sun. There's a lot of feelings that go around, and more people to talk. Talk about them.
Fair enough. Spreading the feelings. We can always trust you to do that. Also check out our podcast, Basketball, as we teased off the top of the show. It's very good. It's fun. Go check it out. You can find Katie at Whatevs on Twitter. You can find me at Woodley Sean. You can subscribe to, rate, and review this podcast. Wherever it is you get your podcast, it's much appreciated when you take that small amount of time to do that. And with that, we're going to leave you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. For tuning into Locked On Mario, apparently. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday with another episode of Locked On Raptors.